carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Is anybody here an overpacker? It's unbelievable, isn't it? I remember growing up, I didn't care what I had. I just put it in there, probably because I was just ready for to know my mama would have taken care of me. But now as I get older, it's just getting particularly coming to them. I mean, you got to be ready when you come up here. You got to pack your clothes, you got to pack your golf clubs or whatever it is, and make sure you have that bag straight. And then if you fish like me, you've got to have more flies than you can shake a stick at, because half of them are going to be going into the rhododendron. And you've got to be, you know, have your sunglasses and then doing something else. You've got to have that too. It's a little overwhelming. And one of the things I find out is I always forget something, and I always have more than I need. Have you found that to be the case? So it's interesting that Jesus would give this strange advice to his disciples as he's sending them out on a mission. Take no bags, no purse, nothing with you. He was saying, in effect, when you go out on my name, into this world where there's fear and anxiety and worry about everything from personal issues to concerns about what's going on in the community to what they were dealing with as a nation, he said, don't take anything with you. What I want you to do is to go and be, are you ready for this? This is radical. Be fully present with people. And give them, here's the title of the sermon, the sacrament of your presence. Give them the sacrament of your full and undivided attention. Don't take any Apple Watches with you, okay? No iPhones, no iPads. Don't let anything get in the way, because there are people that are truly hurting. You and I both know that we're living in an age of unbelievable isolation and loneliness. One out of every two men, according to the Surgeon General, has no one with whom they can confide in. It's not much better for women either. And we all know our young people who are struggling with intimacy and connection across devices that many of us never had when we were growing up. And the new thing that I learned at a recent conference in Colorado is the emergence of not just social media, but AI, and the ability of children and adults to establish relationships of so-called intimacy with, look it up, avatars that can listen to you, field your questions, check on you, ask you how you're doing. And it's so amazing how many people are leaning into that, thinking that that's going to bring something a whole lot better than simply being across from someone, sensing their presence, having a conversation, and feeling the greatest thing in the whole wide world, which is feeling seen and known. We're all guilty of it, I think, being consumed by too much baggage, carrying too many things, having too much going on. One of my favorite stories was of a parishioner of mine at St. Michael and All Angels in Dallas. It's a man some of you may have heard of called Dick Bass. Does the name ring a bell? Dick was a great guy, and he loved to tell stories, especially the stories of climbing the seven summits. And you can get the book and read all about all of his great adventures. And there were extraordinary adventures. But one time, he was coming back from San Francisco and was flying to Dallas. And he got on the plane, first class, started having a conversation with this gentleman. The gentleman next to him said they were having some niceties. And Dick said, I'm Dick Bass. And the guy looked at him and said, you're Dick Bass? You're the one that climbed all the summits, aren't you? He said, I've read your book. And Dick, that's all he needed to get him wound up. And he just started going into all of, you know, everything that had happened, the way the snow that had blinded him, the ropes that had snapped, every possible thing. And he just went on for about 2 hours until he started to move into Dallas, and the captain got on and said, you know, pull back your tray tables and put your seats upright. And as they began to taxi in to the gate, Dick said, my goodness, I'm so, so sorry. I've spent all this time talking about me. I mean, surely you've got some stories to tell yourself. I apologize. He said, oh, don't worry about it all. My name is Neil Armstrong. Pretty amazing. That the man who had climbed the world's highest peak had missed the first man to walk on the moon. But there are other times, I think, when we really do get it, when it lands, when we notice and we pick up, we sense something's going on, and we're able to put our bags down. Frederick Buechner told a story once about a particularly dark time in his life when he was dealing with a challenge that his daughter was having. She was living with eating disorder. And he said he was feeling that kind of powerlessness that only a parent can feel, you know, that moment when you've done everything you can to help your child. And there's nothing else you can do. Somehow through the gift of medicine or the gift of health care and a bit of will and a bit of support, that person needs to ultimately take hold of their own life. You can support them, but you can't do he was struggling with that. I mean, he was struggling mightily, and he kind of did with what a lot of men do. I don't mean to pick on men this morning, but why not? We just sort of keep it to ourselves, don't we? We keep turning over and over and over again what we might be able to do to fix it. And it was just driving Buechner crazy. And one day, he said, Fred, we'll be in town a couple of days, and I'd love to come over and see you. And he said, well, that's great. He said, I'd love to see you. And so he went over, and they said they went walked in the woods and didn't talk about anything particularly deep and had a few meals together. And he said, all of a sudden, Buechner reached that moment when he just had to let it out. And he finally felt comfortable enough with this gentleman just to sweep out his soul. Just did that. He said it was the greatest feeling of relief that someone else was listening. Because when we listen, we love. And when we listen and we're fully present, we give the gift of the sacrament of presence. And the funny thing was, after they had this conversation, Buechner turned to the guy again, appropriately caught up in his own issues. He said, I can't tell you how much it meant that you came by to see me. He said, but by the way, what brings you to Vermont? He was from North Carolina. How stunned Buechner was when the guy looked at him and he said, I came for you. There are a lot of things that our world needs, but I believe it was the great prophet Bert Bacharach who said what the world needs more than anything is love. And I don't want to romanticize that, but I think it's true. I think this is how we heal the fabric of our families. This is how we heal the fabric of our communities, of our neighborhoods. When we take the time to set aside our own issues and we become empowered and realize that, yes, Jesus has sent us on a mission, to listen, to be fully present, to learn, to love, and to heal. I love the story about a retired man in his 70s who was witted, not working. He was just trying to connect, and he decided he would begin to make 10 phone calls a day just to check in. There were old co-workers, church friends, neighbors. He had no agenda. He gave no big speech, just presence. One woman said, "You called at the exact time I needed someone." Another said, "I haven't heard my name aloud in a week." After a while, the man said something unexpectedly. He said, "I thought I was helping myself or helping them, but it turns out I was saving myself." Because the sacrament of presence doesn't just flow from us, it flows through us, and it heals both sides. So this week, if I may, give you a little bit of homework. Reach out. Think of someone that's been on your heart. Call them. Visit them. Write them a card. Make a meal. Leave a voicemail. Because it is in the very giving and receiving of love that not only do we bring healing, but we are healed too. As Flannery O'Connor rightly observed, the life you save may be your own. And maybe, just maybe, we will be the ones who help others believe in the darkest of nights that maybe, just maybe,